A very good morning to you, and it's good to have you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us this morning, this Tuesday morning. So welcome on board. So good morning wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So how are you today on this Tuesday morning? So thanks for joining us, and thank you, David, for handing over the mic to this side of the world. We're coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends and the head and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, and we always curious, asking questions that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segments do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. So I will be with you until 10 o'clock, where I will be handing over to Tate France, coming with Kutha Mosha at 10 o'clock. So as usual, we go back into history. We go back into the history. Good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today, we turn back the pages of our shared calendar to a single date, the 10th of February. So it's a date that holds moment of deep sorrow, incredible courage, national triumph, and the quiet birth of a nation. So let's take a journey together on this day in Africa. So we begin in Kenya. We begin in Kenya in the year 1984. On this day, the nation experienced one of its darkest chapter, an event known as Wagala Massacre. Now, Kenyan security forces rounded up thousands of ethnic Somali Kenyan in Wajir County, and they were detained, and then in a horrific act of state violence, an estimated 5,000 people were killed. 5,000 people were killed. Think about that number. 5,000 souls, mothers, fathers, children, community leaders. This was not a battle. It was a massacre. So it stands today as one of the deadliest human rights atrocities in Kenya's history. A painful wound, you know, that reminds us of the fragility of peace and then definitely the devastating cost of division, as we have seen there. So, but even in the face of such a darkness, the human spirit can shine with an unbreakable light, if you like. So let's travel to South Africa to a prison cell on the 10th of February in 1985. So the country's most famous political prisoners, Nelson Mandela, is offered a deal. The apartheid president, P.W. Botha, says to him, "Hey, you can go free, but on one condition. Just renounce the violence." So Mandela said, Mandela, from his own cell, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He refused a conditional release. So he understood a simple thing. He understood a simple, powerful truth, that his personal freedom was worth nothing if his people actually remain oppressed. So he insisted that the apartheid system had to be dismantled, and the ban on his organization, the ANC, had to be lifted as well. So he was nothing. He was not fighting, you know, he was not fighting for his own liberty, but for the liberty of every single South African. So it was a decision that echoed around the world, a movement of profound moral courage that actually changed the course of history. Now, let's shift our focus from the halls of political power to the role of stadium. Fast forward to the 10th of February 2013. The place is Soccer City in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, the air is electric. It is the final of African Cup of Nations. On the pitch, Nigerian Super Eagles are facing Burkina Faso Stallions. You know, it was a tense, hard-fought match. But in the end, a single goal was all it took. Nigeria won 1-0 for a nation that had waited 19 years for this moment. For a strong country like, for a strong football country like Nigeria waiting, have to wait for 19 years for this moment. It was purely ecstasy. So it was their third AFCON title, a moment of immense, a moment of immense national pride that united millions of Nigerians at home and, well, across the continent in celebration. And finally, let's go back even further to the very foundation of a nation. On the 10th of February 1960, in a city far from Africa, Brazil, Brussels in Belgium, a crucial conference began. Now, the topic was the future of the Belgian Congo. So, for months, delegates met to negotiate the end of colonial rule. This conference was the real starting gun for the Congo's independence. So, it set the stage, the timeline, and the political map that would lead to the birth of a new free nation later that same year. Now, it was a moment of immense hope, and a history would show, and as a history would show, the beginning of a complex and challenging new chapter for the Congos. Now, as you can see, it shows us that our history is not one single story. It is a rich, powerful, and sometimes painful tapestry woven from countless threads. So, and here on this day in Africa, we honor all of them. So, and that's all. I'll look back at this day in African history. So join us again tomorrow for another journey through the moment that made us, you know, the continent we are. So welcome back if you're just joining us. And when we come back, we look at what is our thought for the day today. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No. All right, welcome back. And today is Tuesday, February the 10th. What is our thought for the day today? So the tortoise only make progress when they stick their neck out. They only make progress when they stick their neck out. So the proverb means that to move forward or achieve something, so you have to take a risk, or sometimes you have to expose yourself to uncertainty. So a tortoise can move, the tortoise can't move unless it extends its neck out of the safety of its shell. So, and in the same way, people often need to leave their comfort zone. They often need to take initiatives. You need to take initiative and accept some vulnerability in order to grow, in order to make progress, and, well, to reach your goals. So whatever decision you make today or choices you're making today, make sure that you leave your comfort zone. You know, you take initiatives and you accept some vulnerability, so in order for you to grow, in order for you to make progress and to reach your goals. So the tortoise only make progress when they stick their neck out. So that is our thought for the day today. So welcome and stay tuned. We'll be back in a short minute.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And you can stay connected with Eagle FM at any time or anywhere, wherever you are. You can listen to Eagle FM through our Eagle FM website and also through Eagle FM mobile app, depending where you are. So we want to be where you are. So we want to exactly be where you are. What you can do? Download the Eagle FM mobile app and you will be connected to Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. So, all right. So welcome back. And so what we have for you this morning, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to unpack? So, well, the Indaba, mining Indaba started yesterday. So the mining Indaba was started yesterday. The Minister of Mining in South Africa opened the Indaba. There were also some reported yesterday that were done. But the whole thing is this, with critical minerals central to the global energy transition. Now, the Africa actually is seizing the opportunity to set a new mineral agenda, which is now focusing on what we hear quite often: beneficiation, local value chain, and long term industrial development. So that's what we're looking at. We're going to look at this Indaba that has started in South Africa yesterday. Yeah, so, and it's going to go throughout the week. So we're going to pay attention to what is going on there, because our officials are also there. And I said, it's always good when sometimes you hear things, that you wouldn't hear if your officials were in the country. So, yeah, so it's good that they are there to hear also some other things that they have to say. So that's what we're going to unpack. And make sure that you stay tuned for that. But the other thing is also there's a severe shortage of a service land, and actually a higher demand from higher income buyers, which actually the lack of that, the shortage of service land, and the higher demand, from higher income buyers. It's actually driving the Namibian housing prices to a record higher, and pushing home ownership out of reach for an average household or an average Namibian. So we're also going to look at that. So make sure that you stay tuned for the second item in our show this morning. And of course, your participation is part of this show. You're most welcome to do that with me. So when we come back in a second, we will definitely get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha would take it off a guna, e matina omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longish fa, yai, she became Moshiwana, e moyao, or taing bombotisamwene. Anangeshefa ya Namibia ompitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeithani na omayakuro ni randitomwa yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Of course, this is the eye, and that's why we are your number one talk radio station. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day, your spot for making sense of the headlines that matter to us. So I'm your host, Michael Chaveni. So this morning, we are talking about our treasures, you know, the treasures that we have in our countries, especially on the continent. We are talking about our minerals. All right. I know you heard, you know, you have heard, all of you have heard, you know, there are minerals like lithium, rare earth, copper, manganese, you know, the list can go on. You hear that they are critical for new global economy, these minerals. So we're hearing now that they're very critical for new global economy, for electric cars, for solar panels, for phones that we have in our pocket, you know. And the good news is that Africa, and yes, Namibia as well, is sitting on a mountain of these treasures. So we are sitting on a mountain of these treasures, of these minerals. But here's the big question. Here is the big question. And this is the question we are unpacking this morning. Well, and please, don't start laughing, okay? Don't start laughing. It's just a question for us to unpack. So are we finally going to get rich from our own wealth? You know, are we finally going to get rich from our own wealth? It's a genuine question. Are we finally going to get rich? We have all this. As I said, we are sitting on a mountain of these treasures. So what are we going to unpack then? Is this question. Are we finally going to get rich from our own wealth? Or will we continue? All right? There's a caveat. Will we continue to be the world supermarket? Kind of like a supermarket where we sell the raw ingredient for someone else to bake the cake and keep all the profit. So will we continue to do that? So this is the eye from Eagle FM. This is the eye we're looking at this in Durban, in Cape Town. So now, this is a story coming out of the huge, huge meeting in Cape Town yesterday. The mining in Durban, in Cape Town. It's a big deal. The biggest mining conference on the continent. And the message coming out yesterday is, and this year actually is different. So it is bold. Africa is saying the rules are changing. So that's what they're saying. The rules are changing. And that's why I'm asking, are we finally going to get rich from our wealth? They're saying the rules are changing. Now, let's paint the picture, okay? Let's paint the picture for you. For many years, for decades, the story of African mining have been the same, okay? And that's why my question, are we finally going to get rich from our wealth? So it has been the same. A company comes in, they dig up the cobalt, in the DRC, the gold in Ghana, you know, the diamond here in Namibia. So they come in, they dig up all this. They put in a ship, you know, they put this on the ship and it is gone, you know. So, and it's gone. We get some jobs, of course, you know, we get some job, we get some taxes, and also we get a big hole in the ground. So now the real money, the massive value add happens elsewhere. The cobalt becomes a battery in a factory in Asia. The gold becomes a piece of jewelry in Europe. And the raw diamond is cut and polished somewhere in India. So the South African Minister of Minerals, speaking at this Indaba, basically said, enough is enough. All right? So he said, enough is enough. So he said, we must move beyond just exporting raw materials. Of course, we heard this before. I mean, we're hearing this every day anyway. So we need to build the factories here. That's what he said. We need to do the processing here. So we need to build the value chain on African soil. So when you hear all this, you're kind of like, yeah, yeah, you're not. Everybody not, he said. Yeah. But of course, we since how long we have heard this, you know, think of it like this, okay? We are a farmer who grows the best maize in the world. I like to put these things to get it in my head. So I hope that the way I get it in my head is the way others would. So you're the farmer who grows the best maize in the world, okay? But for years, we have just been selling the raw maize kernel, okay? We have been just selling those raw maize kernels. So the buyer takes our maize, make it into the breakfast cereal, sell it now for 10 times the price that we actually, you know, sold the raw material. And even sell it back to us in a supermarket. So you understand? So the new agenda is simple. So the new agenda now is simple. We want to be the ones that are making cereal. That's what this agenda is all about. We want to be the ones turning our raw lithium into batteries. We want to be the one turning our copper into the wiring that power our homes and industries. This is what the expert now called, and something that you always hear, beneficiation. Beneficiation, beneficiating, ending value right here at home. And the timing is actually perfect. Eh? The timing is perfect. The world is crumbling. The thing is that the world is crumbling for these critical minerals. They are scrambling for this critical mineral for the green energy transition. They need us. They need us. For the first time in a long time, the power dynamic is shifting. So we have what the world wants. Just think about that, really. Eh? That the power dynamic has shifted. We have what the world wants. Now, let's get to the reality eye-popping numbers now. Let's go to the numbers. A report from the African Finance Corporation, also launched at the Indaba, put African mineral worth at $29.5 trillion. The African mineral wealth, you know, at 29.5 trillion US dollars. Let me say that again. $29.5 trillion US dollars. That's about 20% of all the minerals wealth on the entire planet. 20% of all the mineral wealth on the entire planet. Remember when I said we are sitting on the mountain of these treasures? Eh? Sound like we should all be driving, you know, gold-plated cars. Eh? Is this the time we should be coming now, you know, rich? We should be all driving, you know, these gold-plated cars. Eh? Yeah, but the report says we capture only a tiny, tiny fraction of that value. Of all that value, 29.5 trillion US dollars. We only capture a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that value. So why? Well, the point, so they pointing now to a few things. And this is maybe something that we should be really, you know, that's where now we go to reality. Back to life. Now, they point to a few things. First, we haven't done enough exploration ourselves. So we don't have a complete map of our own treasures. Okay? We don't have a complete map of our own treasures. And this make it risky for investors and even ourselves to dig, because we don't know where exactly we have all these treasures. But here's the biggest problem. The one we need to talk about right here, okay? This is the big problem that we really, really need to talk about. Now, the report says our mineral supply chain, okay? And this is very important. So our mineral supply chain are externally anchored. Now, all right, I'm quoting the word that is being used, externally anchored. What does that mean in a plain English? Now, it means our minerals are extracted to serve the industrial cycle of other countries, not our own. You understand? So that's what it means. It means that, so when we're talking about green hydrogen, our market is not Namibia. It's Europe. So our uranium is not, the market is not Namibia. It's not actually anchored for our industrial development, but for someone else. As I said, our uranium might be mined to power a reactor in France. Our rare earth might be sent to China to build the wind turbines. Turbines, you know. We are exposed to their economic problems. You understand? We are exposed to their economic problem. If their economic slow down, for example, because our mine are externally anchored, our mine can shut down. Even if we are here, even we here in Namibia need more power and need more development. Because it's not internally anchored, it's actually externally anchored. It's the same thing with our fish. Eh? There are fish that we don't even eat here. Nice fishes that we... How many of you eat hake? I haven't seen it for years now. You know? Well, you find it in the shop, but it's extremely... With the amount of I can buy a hake, well, I do grand oka ushakovo kashushu very wangapi. So I normally go to kashushu or whatever, my spanger, whatever the case may be. So we don't eat the hakes anymore. Eh? You understand? So, and where the whole, you know, this is what they're saying. And it's something that we need to think that seriously. So now the report makes a powerful point. The challenge is not the lack of demand of our minerals. Okay? The challenge is that it's not the lack of demand of our minerals. The challenge is the lack of our own demand anchoring the industry. So that's the challenge. We are not deliberately building our own industries around our own mines, our own minerals. Okay? Deliberately. We are not deliberately building our own industry around our own minerals. But in the first place, yes, because in the first place, we don't own them. That's a fact. We talked about this yesterday. So, and what would unlock all these potentials? The answer is simple, but hard to do. It's very simple, but hard to do. It's getting hot in here. So, now, it's something you probably have heard many times. Infrastructure. And what are those infrastructures? Sometimes we talk about beneficiation, value additions, and all this. But this is the most important things. Infrastructure. I said, what would unlock all this potential? The simple answer is infrastructure. We're talking about reliable power, energy. We talked about water. So in a country like Namibia, well, of course, there are good roads. Well, maybe railway not. So good roads, good railway, that connect our mines now to our factories, well, which we don't have anyway. So, and our port, the port we do. So what do you need? You need skilled people. That's what we talked about yesterday as well. Without these, the dream of beneficiation is just a dream. It's just a rhetoric talk. It's a slogan. Remember, this can become a slogan, and every politician who's talking or leaders who are talking, of course, he throw in beneficiation, value addition, and all that. But how are you going to strengthen the scarcity of water? How are you going to address the scarcity of water? How are you going to address reliable power to be able to have factories? Yeah? Infrastructure. So the report says that is the way to unlock all these potentials. But let's get home. Let's bring this home to Namibia. So we are a key player in this as well. So we are really a key player in this. We have significant lithium deposits. We have rare earths. We have uranium. We have diamonds. And this conversation is not just for South Africa or DRC. It is for us right here, right now. So, but are we thinking strategically about beneficiation? Are we really thinking strategically about beneficiation? So when Chinese or European companies come knocking on our lithium, are we saying, okay, sure, take the lithium, but you must process at least. Now, even if we may not be the market of these minerals. We not be having the market. So at least, you know, we're saying, well, take the lithium, but you must process at least, let's say, for example, 50% of it here. Employ Namibians, train our engineers, and transfer technology. Same thing with the uranium. Okay, at least have us a smaller plant here, you know, nuclear power, the smallest one here, you know, that suit more our needs. Eh? So we're not asking, you know, powerful one or something, just that suit our need. Eh? Or are we so desperate? And sometimes this is where we actually are as African. We are so desperate for investment that we accept whatever terms are offered. No, seriously. In most cases, we are in the position of desperation. We are in the position of desperation and we accept whatever the terms are offered. Yeah? You know, when you're in a situation and you want to sell this car because you, whatever the case may be, you know, you are in desperate situation. So you want to sell this car at how much? At 70, let's say 100,000. You know, I mean, $100,000. And that person, I don't have that much. I can only give you about 70, or I can only give you about 60. Manir, my friend, man, just move it up at least 80. No, man. 60, you take it or leave it. Okay. Just bring 60. So that's That's a situation we found ourselves. Sometimes we are so desperate for investment that we accept whatever, you know, terms are offered. So the difference is not just resources, okay? It's not just resources. And it's something that we talked about yesterday with Andreas. So it's governance. Eh? It's governance, it's negotiation. It's having a plan beyond the next election cycle. So it's not just looking at the next elections, but beyond that. Because sometimes we're only looking for how do I make it to the next, you know, to the next elections. And therefore we want quick wins. But quick wins are just to gain us points, not actually to solve the problems. It's just to keep us in the office, but not really solving the problems. So, and this is where I want to hear from you, all right? I want to leave you with some questions, okay? I want to, you know, to ask you some question and to think about and to debate, not only here, right, where you can come through, but wherever you find yourself. Maybe you are with your family, you know, your colleagues, your friends, wherever you find yourself. So things that we can maybe look at. And as you come, I always want to give you a direction on things that we can discuss. Now, first, when a foreign company get a license to mine our lithium here. So we talked about yesterday license. We did one-on-one license yesterday, one-on-one. Okay? Not one-on-one, one-on-one. Yeah, one-on-one yesterday. So now when a foreign company gets a license to mine our lithium here, are we as Namibians put our foot down and saying, great, but part of the deal is you must help us build a battery factory here? I'm saying that because we don't see this. So do we put our foot down? And that's yesterday, someone mentioned that we don't have expert negotiators. Or are we happy to just export the raw powder and let the real value created, you know, real value creation happen somewhere else? In quite most often, that's what happened. That's the situation we found ourselves in. And this is what the Indaba want to change. The Indaba in Cape Town, this is what they want to change. The theme of the Indaba was stronger together, progress through partnership. Now, that sounds nice. But who is really benefiting from this partnership? That's the question. Who is benefiting from this partnership? Now, when international investors come, so they come with their capital and technology. Are we entering into this partnership of equals? So when we enter this partnership, are we entering into this partnership of equals? Kind of like we are equals in this partnership. Or are we still actually the junior partner, giving away our precious resources for nothing while they take lion's share of our profit? So it's a serious thinking that we need to make. And maybe my final question before you come through. So our leaders are talking this talk at big conferences, and even at Indaba where they are now. And that's good. That's really good. But what about the walk? Are we seeing the investment in our national grid, for example, to support the new industries? Is there investment in our national grid? So we need a reliable, remember the infrastructure? We need a reliable electricity. We need a reliable power. We need a reliable energy to support now the new industry that you're talking about, that you want. Okay? So are we building the skills in our VCTs? So at least there's some movement in terms of that. There's some movement. In Tibet. So, So are we building the skill in our VCTs, in our universities, so our young people can be engineers and the chemists, the chemists, eh? Not just the truck drivers, that we are, in terms of logistics, we are just the truck drivers. Eh? Are we planning for a future where our minerals power, our minerals power our industrializations? Maybe not just someone else, because those who are, you know, taking it out, but our minerals power our own industrializations. And that's where we're lacking. If we don't own them, how do we make use of them? How do we actually benefit from them? Guys, this is our moment. Really, this is our moment. The world needs what we have. I don't know why we're not making advantage of that. We have. The world needs what we have. Okay? We can either repeat the mistakes of the past, or we can write a new story. Okay? We can write a new story. A story where our natural wealth translates directly into shared prosperity for Namibians. So this mining in Durba, with his talk of partnerships and progress, is fundamentally about, you know, whether it's about whether the pattern changes or continues. And honestly, Namibia, I'm skeptical. I'm actually skeptical, because, I mean, we have seen many, many conferences. So skeptical, not because it's impossible. I'm skeptical, not because it's impossible, but because it requires something very difficult. It requires something very difficult. African unity and discipline. And that's very difficult for us. It requires African unity and discipline. And that's very difficult for us. It requires saying no to bad deals, even when you desperately need investment. That discipline I'm talking about, it requires investing in the long term, even when there are immediate needs. Of course, there are immediate needs. Once we focus more to immediate needs, we really forgot the long term. Eh? And it requires competent, non-corrupt governance. Eh? It requires technical expertise, as we see. That's being, you know, said over and over. And of course, as a citizen of the country, it requires patience. We need to be patient. And the question is, do we have that? Can we build that? That's the question. So, our telephone now, the line is open. The line is open now. You can come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So that's our studio line that you can come through. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, man, brother. African, you know.
Yeah, and it's quite massive, my friend. From the report, as we hear, It's trillions. Trillions.
Yeah. Oh. If we can use it in nice, I mean, in our benefit, we are not going to have a lot of problems what we are talking about now. High unemployment, education in the mess, we're talking about health. So housing is an issue. That would be a pass.
Yeah, 29.5 trillions. And that's the thing is that when you look at that, that's actually 20% of all the mineral wealth on the entire planet. It's massive that we have, you know. As I said, that's a mountain of treasures that we have, you know.
It's what I'm always saying, when our leaders are going to others, and they are discussing about their problem. And just imagine you are telling the UK Prime Minister about your housing problem, clean water, water connection. And then the people are, now they're wondering, like, now we are here to talk about new technology. That guy just asked you one question. What kind of population you have? How many people you have in your country, like Namibia? Then you say 3 million. Okay, and the welfare? No, we have diamond, we have uranium, we have fish. That guy will just no. Mm-mm. There must be nothing like something wrong with you. You are telling me you are independent union for 36 years now. But you are here telling me about your problem, like clean water. This thing is not supposed even to deal it with it. 2 years. Yeah. You are having a lot of mineral like that. What are you doing? Not to have it, channeling all the people to have a good drinking water or housing problem. If you are having all these people or something, you know. What I'm saying, our leaders here, sometimes things which they do. And I think we were discussing yesterday, they said, no, sometimes, then let us just does not deal.
Yeah.
Like this guy was just sidelining the government from deal with it that take place. I'm saying it's a high time because there's a term and condition in that contract. You say, my friend, we thought you were a good person. Now we are revoking it. Or somewhere else. We know we did your exploration, but this is not the way it's supposed to be done. Yeah. My ground, my rules. My ground, my rules. Capiche? Go. But our leader, they will not do that because they're thinking of, if I want even that land close, I want even that fortune. So if this guy, I let this guy go, instead of getting 1.7 million, we don't have that card. That, no, I cannot do this to my people. That's what I'm saying. You can talk about, Tony Blair, what, Bush. You never take those people because they are protected by their own people.
Yeah, but do you know? Do you know that?
They do it for the country even though they create a chaos in another country.
Yeah.
It is their own benefit of the whole population. And here we do it for individually.
You know that there are things that are not... For us, there are things that are not coming together, you know, and there's a tendency of many things actually working in isolations. So, for example, institution of learning, for example.
Yeah.
This is where we should be able to have really people who can tell us in 10 years, in 20 years from now, what is the trajectory of our economy. Mm. You know, of our economy and the areas that we need to focus more on because they are doing some research because this is what actually developed countries, they depend on their, on the research that are done by their institutions. So the other thing is that, we're not investing enough. We're not investing enough in this knowledge because as I said now, as we are here, The United States is not thinking of what the next 10 years. They're already thinking in terms of next 100 years.
Yeah.
You understand? Eh? They are far ahead in terms of where they want to be in working towards that in terms of education, in terms of, and that's what feed into what you teach,
you know, how you come up with this planning, and national development. It's feeding to that, but we don't have that.
That's why I was even asking this, that we have this what plan commission, what they do.
Yeah.
What they plan after 36 years, what they do. Can we have something productive, you know, it's from through, because of through what national plan commission, this is what we achieve.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, almost zero.
Yeah, but we are also not serious, especially even our parliamentarians, people of the in the parliament, we are also not serious to where to think, okay, guys, every 5 years we're throwing away another plan, you know, and we come up with another one, you know, and every time, what have we, let's sit and look at what are the problems. What are the problems?
What we done even the NT25, what we are talking about. Can we say we achieved this and this? We're still having the what? The problem when it comes to youth unemployment. We're still having a problem when it comes to housing. We're still having, and every time we are talking about those things, every year. But
rural electrification, according to NDP5. Should have been done in 2022. That means 90% of Namibia is being electrified. You know, universal access to electricity, to power. So where are we with that? Now, we are even talking about, there was even the other time when we talked about how it's expensive now, actually, to bring electricity into how it has become expensive to implement that. Yeah? So, and we are not sitting and said, man, we need to relook at this realistically. We keep on, you know, saying things, rhetorical things that have no real impact in people's lives.
I'm telling you. And that is the thing what I'm saying. The problem here in Namibia is that we don't have what a patriotic team when it comes to the country.
Yeah.
We better make a deal. Where I know that my government is going to get only 3%, then our shareholder with my friends, we are getting even more than the country. We are getting even 7. Then all together to be like Namibia is having only 10% in that. But it's not actual what is happening. Individuals are having more share than the government.
Yeah, far from that.
We keep it that every institution is doing the same almost. Then we want the people to develop. Look at here now. We are complaining about high unemployment. But actually, everybody knows that. If you turn Transnamib to what? One of the productive. It can take a lot of people also in that railway. Where you say, no, every truck must wait from the borders. If you are from Muskango, wait for Muskango. Okapiti, wait for Mukatima Muliro, that side. This side of Oskunene, they must also wait that side. My friend, the railway is lining up and down, taking all the cargoes, whatever from West Bay. My friend, you see that Transnamib to be Transnamib. Telecom to be Telecom. But those institutions, you never heard even the advertising any vacant for the past 5 years. Because they are having also incompetent people who are there. They say, oh, those are, they are making it, the company. Everything. Even Namdeb, you see Namdeb is going down. Not the Uswananda, but we used, you know. People used to go there to the Namdeba and then will tell you, no, when you are going there, everything you will then take care of Namdeba. Starting from household, even the food, whatever people are going to eat. But now it's different story.
Now you used to go there, those, you know, those parks that you have in Orangemont. So you used to have those nice park and all that. You go there, those are dry now. That's just like
now the one. They are not
watered anymore. And just like
even yesterday, in the newspaper about the what? Come on, they bring the people what? Paper housing, what something.
Just like our zoo park, and as you used to walk through the through Windhoek Central
the
there.
The first time I come to Windhoek for holiday,
Yeah.
We went there, and there was a pond of fish, nice colored fish. Come when I complete my grade 12, I come to VTC.
Yeah.
Now, see, people are smoking even the park now.
Yeah.
Man. There's nothing else. I'm telling you, our mentality needs to be changed. I don't know what we need to do, but every household, I think we need to start.
There is something. There is something in this report which is saying that the what is that the our building, our infrastructure, even our infrastructure actually are in the way to support the outside external anchored means that, you know, even our infrastructures, our port are built just to, you know, to, let's say, for example, we're talking about now the what is that that corridor in Angola, Lobito corridor.
Oh, Lobito, so, yeah.
Yeah, Lobito corridor. Now we're saying what Lobito corridor is being designed to be able to ship out, you know, you understand? It's to be able to ship out minerals. You know, mm-hmm. It's a facilitating, you know, a route to ship out. So
Michael,
we are not.
Why,
yeah.
Michael, why are you going far? Yeah. Let's talk about the Westbay harbor.
Yeah.
The one who's banned by Chinese. Do you think it was for our intended goods? No, the Chinese are making it because they know they are getting everything.
Yeah. It's actually being upgraded to fit. Yeah.
Exactly. For them to switch their warship when they're coming, their cargoes to collect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now we are owing so Chinese, but intend if you go deeper. It was just Chinese for designing, so to make it easier for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but now we are owing them. You see now. This is a problem I'm saying. No, our leaders sometimes, when we are negotiating, think about, not a thing about you. You already like 70. You are one foot in the what? In the grave. One foot in the ground, one in the grave. Because you think about your kids, your grandchildren, which are going to live in the Namibia, they are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And tomorrow there will be a question, like, what your father did? He was having opportunity to do this. He was the one who was corrupting even the country, taking the money. There will be a question among, even you are gone already, there will be consequences which you are living with your grandchildren. This is thing which you don't think about it. That everything, every table you have to turn one day. Don't think about now you are there, as a president, or you are there as a minister or director. Tomorrow, your kid will be somewhere else. Sometimes they never even think when they're talking about this in 2030.
Yeah.
They thought they will be dead, but some of them are going to reach there. And there will be some question, like, my friend, you've been in the cabinet for so long. What have you done toward this in 2030? Nothing. You can prove what you can say. And the thing is that when you are talking about our minerals, areas, how we support our Africans. Look what is happening in Congo. Nobody wants to go that road. But I see even in America, they are talking about, like, no, we are not interested in what? In Namibia, we are only there because of the minerals.
Yeah, no.
And now, somebody get upset, like, no, in Namibia, there's people, like, no, which people are you talking about?
No, the people, they know they have leverage, you know. They know they can talk it publicly that we after exactly. Your resources, simply as that, you know.
Simple like that.
Yeah.
Now what are you getting upset to? If the guy's telling the truth. Anyway, Michael, let us give us other people a chance.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming through. All right.
Mm.
08333-66091, 08333-66091. So we have also interview in Early Morning Scoop. We have interview in Early Morning Scoop. If there is something that you are listening to and you want to bring it up as well, so you're most welcome. So if there are issues that you also want to discuss from our earlier discussion from Early Morning Scoop, you're most welcome also to contribute or have your reaction on those interviews that my colleague David had before. All right. So 0833-66091. So you most welcome to come through and have your opinion and your thoughts on what we're discussing. So just to look at what we were talking about, Africa is trying to change the rules. Africa is trying to change the rules of the mining game. So the goal is to stop being just a raw material supplier and start becoming a manufacturer and industrial powerhouse. Okay. That's what this Indaba is all about. So we want to become industrial powerhouse powered by our own minerals. Okay. So this is something that we seem to know. I think I was looking for someone. I was looking at Dr. Stapler. I was looking at the other one was also I did try to call the day before yesterday. I want to look at, you know, do we find it much easier, you know, as because there is something here, and I'm gonna look and I'm gonna get into that. So, is it easier for government and we make, maybe we're taking the best option. So are we taking the best option? The best option when we maybe, you know, ship out, you know, material, raw material, you know, when we are raw material suppliers, maybe there's much, it's cheaper and more beneficial than, I know, I seem to be contradictory of what I'm saying. At this point, given that, you know, when we become manufacturers, we're starting from scratch. Do you understand? When you start manufacturing, you start from scratch. Now you have to build, you don't have the infrastructure. You have to build the infrastructure from the very beginning. Given with other pressing issues, maybe our choice of being material suppliers than manufacturers, it's much cheaper and beneficial at this point in time. That's why we cannot get out of this cycle. We talked about it. We talk about beneficiation. We talk about local content. We talk about value additions, all these kind of things. But we don't seem, we have policy around it, but we don't seem to get out of that. Because it's going to ask us massive, 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 massive money, you know, to actually start. Maybe we need to start somewhere, but at this point in time, probably being the material, raw material suppliers, suit us. It's suiting us. It's benefiting us more than actually if we decided to becoming manufacturers. I'm just saying. Eh? So that's why I'm looking for someone, you know, to really dissect that and bring light to that in a really better understanding. And I'm really looking. Yeah, no, the other one I was looking is Dr. Semai, the one from University of Namibia. So, all right. So as I said, that's what this Indaba is all about. You know, is to stop being just a raw material suppliers and start becoming manufacturers and industrial powerhouse. So, and this is a massive opportunity. You know, from those of us looking from outside, we want what? As I said, for us looking from outside, this is a massive opportunity worth trillions, as the report says. But it will only work if we have the right infrastructure, the right skills, and the political courage to negotiate deals that truly, truly, truly benefit Namibia and benefit Africa. Okay, as Mandume was saying. So Namibia, and here's my question for you now. Are we ready to demand more than just royalties from our minerals? Are we ready to insist on factories, not just mines, on industries, not just exporting, on shared prosperity, So not just shared resources, prosperity, that's what we want, shared prosperity. Because if we are not ready to demand it, if we are not ready to demand that, if we are not ready to walk away from bad deals and hold out for good ones, hold out for good ones, then 20 years from now, and as Manduma was saying, we will be having this same conversation. So we're not looking ahead. We will have the same conversations, wondering why we were still poor, why we are still poor, actually, despite being so rich. Why are we still poor? And this is what exactly the president is saying. That's the chicks of the whole thing. That's where it is. That's why the president say we are too few to be poor. We are too few to be poor.
Very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
In Daba. So they started. That's where you know one thing about this name. You listen to what either your ministers and they always say the right thing. The right things in the right time, but you know, you kind of like, how do we translate what you're saying into people now, in someone in Katutura, in someone in Ondobe, someone in Tsilakanuk. You know,
it's what I sometimes evaluate it and look at, like, for example, in South Africa.
Yeah,
the BEE.
Yeah.
And they are the one that is supposed to be part of that, or they are the one supposed to giving us an example that, yes,
the previously disadvantaged.
Yeah, because if you look at Patrick Motsepe, the Rainbow, I think, or Ramaphosa, they've come a long way to benefiting from the natural resources and all of that. And they never do anything. They never be a part of the value addition on mineral resources.
Mm.
Yeah, the 3 billion that is Patrick Motsepe have on his hand now is there playing around with the soccer issue.
And
who are now the one that you wanting to do that? If people that you are calling, they don't have money, and you have money in hand that come from the minerals.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah. So those are the problems that. Yeah, Namibia have tried enough since 1998, to locate it, okay, special funds and buying machinery for the people to participate in different, things, but the people are selling their things, become wealthy quicker and all of that. So at the end of the day, if you look at now to say, who is the one that come to set up those factories or manufacturing plant. Who are those people? Diamond mesh from Germany to come and mix up things here in Namibia. I was really serious on that because I look at the players in United States, the oil players, oil well diggers in United States. They are focusing on exporting oil, final product from America.
Yeah, the final goods, the final products, production. Mm.
While they saw that, you know, everybody in the world are playing in oil, but them, they don't care about that. What they care is about who is the leader of oil in the world.
So they're negotiating with their government. They're asking their government to represent them in the table to negotiating those export.
But even for us in Africa, the market is big. It's huge. The continent itself. You don't need to go anywhere.
Eh? Yeah, but if you look at Arica refinery or Dangote refinery, for example, it still struggle in Africa to sell.
Exactly. I mean, you just said that the market, the oil market for African country, Angola and Nigeria, is not Africa.
He said. If you look at the aviation fuel, it's selling more in Europe than in the United States.
Yeah.
And if you look at now the gasoline, it's not in Africa. It's selling somewhere else.
Yeah.
You understand? So because of these policies that is applying by African countries, African leaders, for example, so those are now the problem that I don't know where Indaba is standing, on which ground he is, to say we need a gold company from Sweden to come and set up his recycling gold plant in Namibia because we have a lot of scrap of gold. How do you convince them?
Yeah, no. The other thing is sometimes I don't understand this. Okay. How do you reconcile inviting investment? Yes, the country, to develop the country, you need investment, you know, but how do you reconcile investors? You know, because they are not for social development of your country. So they are not here for social development of your country. They are here to make money.
To make money.
Yeah.
That is what I'm saying. They come with their money that they make it somewhere.
Yeah.
You must know that and protect it. Not to say, let me invite this. It's like a hyena inviting the kudu to come in for his territory. That is where I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because you want somebody who is looking for gold, lower gold in the ground, and when the product come in the ground, you say, I need somebody who can extract it.
Yeah.
And then they said, who is digging it out from the ground?
Yeah.
No, it's you. But now you need to get in somebody. Yeah, I know. Things are not working like that. That's why I'm saying Africa, they don't really have a market economy. The people that they allocate to what is needed into the world. So because if you look at now the saver data because of electricity that people are talking about, those Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and the others, even all owners, now they are talking about go to the space.
Yeah.
Because the electricity for free, the sun is there.
Yeah.
What they are focusing now is the solar that can and batteries that can last him for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the space, because if you look at those the satellite that they are there, they've been there for almost 8 years now.
Yeah.
You see now. So those are the things that they are talking about. And here you are talking about, and you have no inventor, the people that are moving with the world. You don't have them.
And it's the point I was making, is that the university in those countries, they are far ahead in terms of research. Our universities are not helping our government to actually have, even to help in terms of developing the NDP-6.
Yeah. If you send, you took in two students from NASA and take them to Harvard, the second year student from NASA to send him to School of Technology, University of Technology in the United States or in Australia. So that kid will not do anything in that day. Because those ones, they are far, way far to understanding how the world is moving. But everything is the same. The books are the same. The reference of the books are the same and everything.
Exactly.
But them, they are far because the technology is already moving far from them.
Yeah.
The machinery that was used in 1965, they are already abandoning them. They are already, even the locomotive that we are using here.
In our VCT, if you go into our VCT, the kind of equipment that we have are not the one that are being used at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. That is what I'm saying. The resources, even when they were saying, you know, we want to change the policy of AI. I said, is the university ready to buying those new technology that they are using on AI? So those are the things that the people need to think. And this is watching that this guy was blaming me yesterday to say we don't have expert on things. But look at that now. Do you have resources that have even a locomotive, even electronic cars? Mm. Are we having those type of engineers to do that? We don't have them.
I know. Who actually, is it Mr. Who actually used to say we can't even make a toothpick?
Yeah, you see now. Hmm? We are not focusing on come up with something, but we are obsessed of what is people are making money. Because I look at this guy, the world diggers in the United States.
Yeah.
They are more richer than the one that is our own percentage in Nigeria. You see that?
Mm.
Their managers have their own private jet, while the Nigerian owners of 80% of the oil world, they are in a struggle because they don't have market. They don't know how to market it. They don't have partners. Yeah? They are not including on the... but if you look at the power of man by MBS of Saudi Arabia, he's fighting with big players like Qatar,
And these big players, they are not acting alone. They're acting as a block. They're acting as a unity.
They hired the best engineers.
Look
at what they're building in Dubai. Eh? They hired the best because of what? Money. But as here in South Africa, they're destroying their country. Now look at what. But if you look at the industry, the manufacturing industry of Russia, for example. The way they are exporting those aircraft plates, those iron for plates, they have been in there for years. They protecting their natural resources that they are getting. Look at how now the Americans are importing the natural gas from the United States to Europe. That is what I was saying. Namibia, they are not focusing on good things. You are the one that is having gas. More than your neighbor country, South Africa, we have a big market, but you are not coming up with anything. So I don't understand in Durban to say it will produce anything. No, this is what I saw it. If you look at the National Planning Commission, if you look in the Reserving Bank of Namibia, there are nothing that they're making change into the Namibians. There are nothing changing into the investors that make it easier for an investor into liking this country and set up a simple plant for something. Or even a manufacturer from out of what they are doing. Because their product that they are getting here, it come a lot of things out of it. So those are the things that in Durban, it doesn't make any difference. Because Ella Maposa is a multi-millionaire guy who making money out of the resource or the natural resources of South Africa. He's in law, which is now Patrick Motsepe, is one of the black richest men in the country. Yeah. But they are not creating jobs into that country. Mm-hmm. And you are expecting others to come and set up the brand. No. Serious.
And it's the same thing when we hear that Namibia have got how many millionaires, about 200 or how many, 400, I don't know how many. So what do they do? Do they just have money in their pocket? And what does that money do? So we should be excited now we have this millionaire who will actually then, you know, transform the Namibian economy. But you don't see that.
That's why I give an example of yesterday that approaching France Indongo, talk to Indongo that money you have that day, we want you to increase him because we want somebody who creating jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe he will transfer his trust to the to world so that he can create his own jobs in Namibia. Because we have some guys that they are trying. I'm not talking about names, but I know some that they you may end up, if you offer them a simple profit, they will come.
Yeah.
Because they have few, but you cannot tell me a millionaire who is driving a G-Wagon and flying all over the world.
It's actually having about 8 cars parked in the garage.
Yeah, 8 cars parking in the garage, and you are telling me that it's an only million car. No, that's the opportunity which is everywhere in the world.
Mm.
It's the same that we are talking about Tahore here. Well, the business people, the people who wanting to be a part of the Burkina Faso economy, he doesn't want them. He wants to be alone on the game. That is another not changing, because there are people that they know, if I got opportunity, I will create jobs, I will be like Elon Musk. Because they are venturing in different ways. They are coming up with the idea. They are funding those ideas.
Mm.
But here in Namibia, as I said, the Namibian government have been tried since 1997 to locate the money, even people money. But they don't getting anything. Agribank destroyed because they don't getting anything out of it. They are investing their money. And that's why some of those investors, they are giving money to the whites. And whites here, they are creating few because they are fear. What is happening tomorrow? Because the voice is a tone that is everybody's fear. To say they are keeping eating, but they are not keeping eating. They're getting a little and they manipulating it. So that is what I'm saying. In Daba, it might end up, yes, we want to dictate in our, because we see
they are that's a quick commercial coming up, and then maybe you can round off.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwaweza kwa ombuni kire ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakaane na wina ikare no masa kwa murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu ukuura kwa imba. Una oviune vya peke o rondola milongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwesi. So, kwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. O peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umilongo ivari na dano. Kumyeve mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyegu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right, welcome back. All right.
I like the way you say it. Are we selling ingredients into those countries, or are we selling the product?
Yeah.
Because the good thing is we're selling copper from Zambia to China and bring it back into Zambia.
Mm.
But are we capable of making it a liquid in Zambia?
We're so not.
Those are the things.
The thing is this, there was something before you came on I was talking about. I said, okay, we have this rhetoric of beneficiation, value addition, and local content, all this, you know. Realistically, first of all, we don't have the issue, the biggest problem is infrastructure. You know, we're talking about now infrastructure, we're talking about reliable, you know, energy, water. We have a scarcity of water. So we're talking about, you know, skills also then in terms of, do we have the people, as you're saying? Now, is it much, and this is what I see probably, we're not acknowledging it, but this is what is happening. Is it much beneficial? It's not the ideal, what we want. Is it much beneficial for us to actually just dig out and ship out this in a raw form, then actually beneficiate it, then actually have a value addition? Because we need now to build factories. We need to, you know, a processing plant, and that costs a lot of money. And we are far away from actually doing that. At this point in time, it's a kind of like a short win that we need to have, you know, quickly, just to have people employed, few people employed there. You know, we get some royalties and taxes here. For now, that benefits us much better than actually the whole idea what we want.
I think it's better to keep what it is, because if you look at what happened to China.
Yeah.
Yeah, China came like this. China went into Europe into negotiating the transfer skill before they become a manufacturer.
Yeah.
So they told them, those Europeans, if they want to be a part of the Chinese economy, they have to come and teaching people how to do things.
Yeah.
And this is what we don't have in Africa. As I said, we don't have our curriculum is the same as in the international one, but the resources of those materials for teaching pupils, they are not the same.
Mm.
So those are the problems that we have. Yeah, for us now to buying power, we need to be patient with that.
Yeah,
we need to see how much are we making from that, and who are those that are benefited in setting of the government, and all of that. That is a better way to getting an example.
Mm.
But if we end up dictated on the one embe and the dotita
yeah.
So those are the other things that we needed to understanding that leaving those natural resources underground, it may end up in 100 years, may end up not needed anymore.
Exactly.
Because
because
recycling is also playing a big role if you look at some of the gold and what.
It's stealing. Lithium is needed now, but maybe 20 years or 50 years later on, it's become like diamond. We have now lab diamond.
Yeah, we have now lab diamond. That is what you need to know, that there is the inventors that are not sleeping. To get things out of nothing.
Yeah.
So those are the things that you need to discuss, you need to setting the table with the people that are viewing the world, not the one that they are saying, our things must be there forever. It will not. We have an example of diamond now. That is what a good example you are giving. And you look at what, if you are not Americans, that they want their job back. Oil, this fossil fuel, it could be getting rid of it. Because there is only few countries that they are entertained by this climate change like. UK.
Yeah.
But if you look at UK, they are using power to buy the final material that they are need in the world, and they are partnering up with American company to get those type of products, to making their Range Rover and Jaguar and Bentley and all of those luxury things that they are selling in the world.
Yeah.
But other European countries, they are still struggling to get to where they are. So those are the things that we need to understand, is that it's not yet too late to play along with the players and in the future to benefit at something. And that is what in China is today.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
Mm. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. Well, the mining in Durban is happening in Cape Town this week. The speeches will be inspiring. The promises will be plenty, but let's judge them. Let's judge them not by what, not what is said this week. All right. Let's judge them not by what said this week, but what is built over the next decade. All right. That's how we have to judge them. All right. So, do come through and have your say, what do you think about the mining in Durban in Cape Town that it just started yesterday? So we're already getting some report there of what is being, what is transpiring. We keep our eye on them. We have our officials also there. So sooner or later, we hear them also saying something. So yeah. 0833-66091 is the number that you can, dial. It's a number in the studio to have your say and to have your contribution. So when we come back, we get into a different topic if nobody comes through.
Omutiha, we take it off a guna, matina, omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, yai, she became Moshiwana, Moyao, or Tango Samweni. Anageshifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, or Chica. Seithanina, Omeaguro, Nirandisoma, Yue, Yongeshifa, Yokupitramo, Ikele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende time meha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Ikele FM, the eye.
My friend.
So a very good morning Namibia. It's another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, your go-to spot for the latest analysis, discussion, and some critical thinking on the issues that really matter most to us. So I'm your host, Big Mike. So the dream of owning a home for an average household is becoming more distant. It's becoming more and more distant. So what is behind this housing crisis? And many of us, of course, understand that, knows that. So what does it mean for all of us? And where are we heading? Where are we headed? So, well, let's unpack it all. Let's unpack it all. So what is actually going on? Okay. A new report from the FNB, give us a cold, hard numbers. Okay. Cold, hard numbers. And they are massive. Really, really massive. In the last few months of 2025 and the last quarter of 2025, house prices jumped by almost 8%. So now house prices in Namibia, especially in places and places like Windhoek, Wavish Bay, Swakopmund, have been going up at an alarming rate. So the latest figures show a sharp increase of 7.6% in just last quarter of 2025, up from 5.9 just before that, 7.6, you know, from 5.9. So you can see it's almost 8%. So now we are talking about an average house price of about 1.79 million, 1.79 million. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, my friend. But that's pretty, a very steep price tag. That's a really pretty, that's a big price tag on the house, especially for the typical Namibian family. For a typical, ordinary Namibian family. So you can already see, you know, this whole issue of inequality. You can already see who will afford that. And we're saying an average house price is about 1.79 million. 1.79 million. An average house price. It's those kind of things. It's only, you know, that thing's advertisement. It's only. And then now when you hear the price, it's only. Jesus. All right. So, but the other thing is this, even though prices are climbing, you know, fewer and fewer people are able to buy homes. It's like a paradox. The number tells us that while more people are demanding homes, the number of transactions is actually slowing down. Of course, because it's unaffordable to many. In a simple term, there are more buyers looking, but fewer deals are being made. You know, it's a big question, right? So it's a big question. Why is that happening? All right. Why is exactly that happening? Maybe let's look at, so why are the houses prices so higher? Okay, why are they so high? And why can't many of us afford to own a place of our own? Why many of us can't afford, you know, to own a place of our own? So, well, there are a few key reasons. There are a few key reasons driving this. According to this report from FNB, it is not just about higher demand. There are other issues. One of them is land availability. So land availability. We have got a serious, serious shortage of serviced land. That's a big, 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 big problem in this country. Serviced land. So that means there aren't enough plot available with basic things, you know, with basic things we need, like road, water, electricity. So, and if there's no land to build on, that's going to drive up the price of the land that is available. That's how it works. If there's no, if land becomes so scarce, so that actually drive up that is available, the land that is available. So it's simple supply and demand. A simple supply and demand. If there is a little supply, prices goes up. Prices goes up. That's how it works. And here's the thing that really hurts, okay? Households are still struggling with affordability. Okay? We're still struggling with affordability. Even though the Bank of Namibia has cut interest rates, so it has cut, it has been cutting interest rates, so which theoretically should make it easier to borrow money, the growth in mortgage lending is stagnant. It's not moving. So what does that mean? Okay? Well, the bank aren't really lending more money, you know, to an average household because, and let's face it, yeah, because too many people are still living with too much debt. You know, too many people are living. Many of us have too much debt. So it's hard for many to save really for a down payment. We're going to come back after this.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
So welcome back. So we're talking housing crisis. As per report from the FNB. And so what we're looking at, you know, why people finding it very hard to save for down payment, there are issues like, you know, many people are still actually living with too much debt. Well, the bank wouldn't give you more. because of the debt. And the other thing is that inflation and the higher living costs. So those make it even harder. So we are scrambling with the little that we have that you're not able to do to have money for down payment of your house.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Yes.
So, to come back, we are talking about the critical thing which is very important when it comes to housing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to have 2 words there.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, Mike, the thing is that once you put a land as a generating income, especially when it comes to municipality. Because what they did, they gave the land mostly to what private individuals like a bank and so on. Now, that's why we funded the land so expensive. Because I'm telling you, can tell me about the material and what material are not expensive the way we say every day.
Mm.
Yeah, because otherwise,
but there is also an increase in material prices as well.
Yeah. It will because
it's not it's not to the extent where it's actually worse, but there is also an increase in material.
Yeah, it's increasing because of the demand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look what we did, we come up with a land. Sometimes even where you find municipality auctioning the land. Just imagine. How can you auction the land if the land is about to be or for municipality to supply the people who are living in the settlement?
Yeah.
But now what we are doing is that you come there, you see, for the people who are having money now.
Yeah,
who are able to buy a 3 or 5 house in one community. And it's not supposed to be that way. Because I'm telling you, up to now, we have people who even develop what property, like landing place. And there's nobody living there.
No, because people, this is exactly the whole thing. People can't afford, you know.
They cannot.
Yeah, the people cannot afford. As we go on, in the north, it's a little bit different. The prices in the north is a little bit different compared to Wintu, Swakopmund, and Wavish Bay. But people can't afford houses.
Yeah.
You know? And it's only now the rich people, now who have already collateral, they can now be able to buy other houses because they have collaterals. Or they don't need to use their own money per se to actually buy these properties.
Not at all. They are qualified to go to the bank.
Yeah.
Get their own and buy another property. And then there is that going on.
Mm.
The moment they buy from us, there is going also to another from there, is going to another city, just like that.
Yeah.
And we have individuals who are trying even in the list for more than 10 years. They're just in the list of a municipality.
Yeah.
To get anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're not going to get it. The problem, I think, what we need to deal with this housing is, and this is what I'm saying always, there are more important things which our people need to discuss in the parliament. Land bill and the witness protection. This is, I'm not only talking about it because of the prosecutor, what happened to, but just imagine you are a witness of a fish lot. How you are going to be intimidated by a lot of people?
You have to leave this country, my friend.
I'm telling you, you have to. Because otherwise, I think our parliament, they need to focus on these two important critical things. Serious, because there are so many, they are planning. Every day, especially when it comes to housing, my friend, just imagine, you've been working here in Windhoek, and then now you're attending. Let them say now you're working, you can afford, and there's no urban available.
Yeah, the other thing is
you are going to leave your kids.
Well, the other thing the story is saying, the report is saying that you could have been saving up for, let's say, for instance, even for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
But even what you have saved up wouldn't be enough.
This is what is telling us every time when people are retiring, they are buying expensive cars. It's like nothing you can use that money. Unless you are going to buy a Land Cruiser and then you buy what, Ketro. And the drought come.
Yeah, it's another.
You'll get that. All right,
yeah.
Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking at the housing issue per report that's coming from FNB. So let's zoom in some of the region in Namibia, so where the houses are more expensive compared to other regions. Because this story is not the same everywhere. So the central and coastal regions or coastal areas are seeing the biggest increases in housing, biggest increases in housing prices. For example, in Swakopmund and Wavish Bay, house prices have been growing rapidly, driven by higher income buyers, as we were talking about, the higher income buyers. It's only for those who have money. People who have money will be able to do that. People who can afford to pay the premium for a home. So, and in fact, if you are in the coastal area, the average price, tag on the home is now 1.54 million. It's $1 million, Namibian dollar, $1.4 million Namibian dollar. And the average house in Windhoek is nearly 1.8 million. So, and these are becoming playground, you know, for the wealthy, only for those who have money, who can afford that. That's basically what Manduma was saying also now. But on the other hand, the northern region is seeing a different trend. While prices are still rising in the region, they are relatively lower, you know, than other part of the country. So in fact, the northern region recorded the highest growth in housing transactions. So this is where more houses were bought. So it's actually much, much more in the north. So while the average price of a house there is around 980,000, is still more affordable. That's still more affordable compared to the big city down south, you know, like in Windhoek and also maybe at the coast. So, and here's the big question. Okay. Here's the big question. Why do we see these big differences, you know, between regions? Why are there these big differences between regions? Why are the coastal and central regions seeing such a higher demand? And is there any hope for more affordable housing in places like the north, that places like now, Wavish Bay and Windhoek, to see more affordable housing, maybe like as it's happening in the north? And who are really buying the house? Who are buying the house right now? So, and this is something pretty interesting. So the market right now is being driven by higher income buyers. And this is even some international buyers. So there are international, actually, buyers who own houses in Namibia looking to invest, some international buyers looking to invest in property. So, and this is a major factor in why prices are staying higher. So if you have, actually, if it's this 1.8 and there are those who can buy that, so why would actually they make it much cheaper? Yeah. And that's why prices are staying higher, even though many of us, the average Namibian, can't even get in the door. So we can't even get in the door. Yeah. So, well, it is tough. It's tough, people. Many families are stuck trying to save for a deposit, only to watch the prices climb out of their reach. Again, as I said, you know, you may have been saving, but you know, you just find out that, you know, you still can't afford it. So meanwhile, more affluent, you know, more rich people buyers are jumping in, snapping up properties. So this is where we really hit. This is where, when we're talking about inequality, this is what is happening. This itself feed into that. You know, this is where we hit a real inequality issue here. So where do you end up? In informal settlement there. You know, on top of each other. Or if you're a middle income earners, end up renting from these rich people and make them rich. That's why you have this elite of small group that are so rich and the majority of people that are so poor. And working poor, that is said by the International Labor Organization. They're working poor. Eh? So, yeah, definitely that's the case. And let's be real. Namibia has long had a housing crisis. This is not new. But now it seems like we are at the breaking point. We really at the breaking point. Population growth, immigration into urban areas, and that lack of service land that we talked about, that is mentioned, are all feeding into this issue. These are all feeding into these issues. And you have to think in terms of, we have grown and nothing changed. The migration, people are coming to urban areas, and that's why we have actually, if you look at the other story we covered, where we see that informal settlement have increased, is because of that migration into urban areas. So, and to make it worse, the lack of service land. So, and I said, all this, and it's going to get worse. It comes, and that's why I said, it reached a breaking point. It comes to a point where you really, an issue has become too big. So you will never have a budget that will be able now to sort out that. So it growing and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Eh? And on top of that, we also got the rising cost of building materials. Not as much as maybe the house prices, but that's also going up. That makes everything more expensive. So that's the issue. That's part of the report. Let's talk about the solutions. Now, the government has said, they will cap housing and rental prices. But is that enough really to address these real problems? Mm-hmm. Would that be enough to address this the real problem? Can capping prices fix the underlying issues of supply and affordability? The whole issue of supply and affordability, can that fix that? And should the government actually do more to create service land? Because that's an issue. An affordable housing option in the first place. Because maybe that's what we need to do in the first place. So, my dear listeners, here is what we need to maybe take away from this discussion. So, the housing prices in Namibia are climbing and it's leaving a lot of people behind. Let's have a quick caller, just to make a point quickly. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Nawa. Hi, Nawa.
Nyo
mbiringo wa kwe? Yeah.
Nandipo. Oigira, mwipo pile panga location.
O ulipe nyo po?
Ndipo ndangu.
Aye, o iringo puiri mara o yaninge fikumanga yehe mo vali manga.
Oh.
O mo frequency amo yeah. Nongengo unapungo ka smartphone napo. O todru ku downloadinga o ka app haka ifanwa Eagle FM app.
Okay.
So shall we ka downloading ako, then you o todru ku pigine fimbwalish.
Oh, okay.
For manga ngota kutara kuchonga ipi. All right. All right. So, yeah, just to round up before I hand over to Mr. Franz on what we were talking now is that, the housing prices in Namibia are climbing and it's leaving a lot of people behind. The higher demand for houses is really clashing with a severe shortage of land to build on. So according to the report, and while some parts of the country remain more affordable, many regions, especially urban areas, are seeing a record higher prices. So the market is increasingly driven by higher income buyers, which make it even harder for an average Namibian actually to own a home. So the big question for us today,
is how can we create a more affordable housing market in Namibia? Excuse me. How do we create a more affordable housing market in Namibia? And this should be a question on the lips of the lawmakers. Can we increase the supply? Can we increase the supply of service land? And should the government step in with more serious measure to help the average household? With more serious measures. Because that has been going on for years and years. And we want to hear, you know. So maybe continue discussing this. Press your leaders. And And that's where we are in terms of that. So let me hand you over to more capable hand in the person of Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So this was Unpacking the Day, and I wish you a beautiful day ahead. From me, Michael Chiavelli, it's a goodbye for now.